Welcome back, everybody, listeners new and old, to the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I'm Mitts, he's Twigs. Ty, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Staying fresh. It's Saturday. Got a little bit of warm weather, so we're out and about. But yeah, it's awesome. How are you, Maddie?
I'm doing great, man. It was a nice dry day today. Unfortunately, it was the scene was ruined a little bit by the incessant honking of long lines of freedom fighters. That's all I'll say about that. That ruined the sunshine a little bit, but at least it's not the epic snowfall that the East Coast is seeing. I'll say that right now. We get a lot of fun stuff from family back home, seeing the silly, just multiple feet of snow that they're buried under. So a little honking to get the sun, I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good trade-off. I'd rather have the honking and the sun than the ton of snow.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll see how much longer it all goes on. We're coming at you guys live on All-Star Weekend. The All-Star game has just wrapped at the time of recording. I don't know that there's too much to say about the game itself. Ty, is it even remotely interesting or relevant anymore, like the game itself?
Well, I think like the All-Star game kind of goes in like cycles, right? When I was a kid, there was the drafting of your own team, and that was kind of fun. It had its own little shtick for a little bit. Then when we had the 3-on-3 introduced a few years back, and the All-Star game made it to that switch. It was fun at that first one, but now it just kind of seems like they're even winning money now. It just feels like it is what it is. It's a gimmick. It allows young fans to go see their players that they love and they want to grow up to be, and, you know, gives out hope. But I don't know. You just feel for the players that like, this is the weekend. They probably all know that are there other than Troy Terry. Sorry, Troy, that this was like their Olympic weekend, right? Like this is where they should be in China. They should be playing best on best. And rather than that, they're playing 3-on-3, you know, with no whistles. Only like, I think the Pacific had one defenseman. It was just weird. It is what it is. It's a gimmick.
There was a goal called back for an offside, wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is. But, you know, I did see some pretty fun things the day before in the skills competition. There were some things that are like, what are we doing here? And we'll probably get into it in a little bit. But yeah, I wouldn't mind going when my daughter grows up a little bit and go see all the stars and that kind of stuff. I think it'd be fun. But for a true hockey fan that just really wants to see best on best, and that's what you should have when you have all the top athletes in the game, that's definitely not what we were delivered. And also, why was Matthew Tkachuk not there? That is robbery, like robbery. But no, he's out, you know, partying with Robert Thomas, and how Thomas is trying to recruit him to St. Louis. This is not how this should be. Okay. I'm a little bit on edge. Maddie, how'd you like it?
Well, I mean, I like the idea of Robert Thomas and Matthew Tkachuk partying a lot more than you do, I think. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think the All-Star game, it was different. I think maybe you said it best, and we need to remind ourselves that it means more to kids, you know. I think that I remember being younger and thinking that it meant something, and not really realizing how little effort a lot of the guys were putting in most of the time, which I don't blame them for. Don't get me wrong. I don't see why they would go all out or play like it meant something, because it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. And it shows. And that's the thing that kind of stinks about it, is that it doesn't mean anything. Everybody knows it and they still just go through with it. So it's kind of annoying. It's kind of like, I guess, you know, it's like watching like a, I know it'd be like watching like the old washed up stars come back and play. And you're just like, oh yeah, that guy, I saw that guy do something really great once. And now I'm just paying to see him skate around. I don't know. The game itself, maybe in the off season, when we're dying for content, we'll come up with some really new innovative ideas, and the NHL can pay us for them. But for now, the All-Star game kind of stinks. The skills competition, there's some meat on that bone. There's some stuff there. But I think what they really need to do is they need to find more judges that are not old hockey people. I loved John Hamm out there. I thought that was funny. And I really loved the fact that he gave Pietrangelo a 19 on his, because Hamm's a big Blues fan. He's got great taste.
Yeah, he didn't show that card, did he? Oh, my God.
See, like, I thought that was funny. Again, it doesn't mean anything. So I thought that was kind of funny that here you've got John Hamm, who's blatantly cheating. I don't remember if they counted it or not for scores, but he won, so maybe they did.
They did.
And so, but it was just like, yeah, this doesn't mean anything. So why not be kind of silly and funny? And the biggest star outside of hockey sitting at that panel, you know, did something attention worthy and made it somewhat interesting. It was more interesting than anything that Alex Pietrangelo did in the competition. So I don't know if that was part of his deke, was paying off the judges with the Stanley Cup win. But you've been talking about this guy for, I think, 2 years now. I know we haven't been potting that long, so our listeners can't back that up. But you've been talking about Kirill Kaprizov as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
That blindfolded deke was amazing.
Oh, Zegras.
Oh, good Lord. That's so embarrassing. The average Joe's thing. All right, well, Zegras and Kapril sucks.
No, but Kapril's really good.
He's that's right. Kapril did the ode to Ovi, which was fun and cute. Not really that interesting, but fun and cute. Right, Zegras. Yeah. Yeah, so then shame on you for that.
I wish I was right about Zegras.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I was remembering is when you said he looked like a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Guy Lafleur. He's kind of a jerk. What can I say?
Yeah.
That was like, was that not the most spectacular shootout goal you've ever seen?
I watched that, and I don't – and, like, so he was just invited just to do that all-star event. Like, that's the only reason he was invited. He wasn't in part of the game. He wasn't in part of anything else, just that. And that was by far blindfolded, balls being thrown at him in an average Joe's jersey and shorts. That was the craziest shot that I have ever seen. Like, just pure skill. Like, even if the goalie wasn't trying or whatever, I don't know who was in that at that point. But it was unbelievable. And it was like, it's so NHL to give like Pietrangelo the win over Trevor Zegras, even though that was his coming out. Like, even though he's scored in Michigan this year, he's also done like the alley-oop to Sonny Milano. He's had like highlight reel goals, and you just seem like to see Trevor Zegras everywhere on TSN and SportsCenter. But yeah, he's the face of the NHL. And that's what the NHL is lacking, is personality. And I'm over here calling him a jerk, but the guy's just full of personality. And I want to see more of him. I really do. Because, like, could you imagine just having a room full of Alex Pietrangelos? Hell of a hockey player, but doesn't sell shit, right? Like, sorry. I know he's a Super Bowl champ. I mean, not Super Bowl. Look at that. You messed up Trevor, and I messed up Super Bowl. We're on a roll today.
This is why, for those listening, this is why we usually – record earlier in the day when we're a little bit sharper, a little bit more on the ball.
Yeah.
If you're audio only, I am sipping a beer. It's delicious. It's not my first. I will answer no more questions on this.
No, but it was it was actually incredible, and that was the most fun. Jack Hughes was okay. It was real. It was cute, right? The magician thing and the kid come out. It was a bit long. I was like, okay, let's get to the point here. But
yeah.
The young players, we're in this generation where, like, they're taking over. And for some reason, I don't know why, the two faces of the NHL, Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid, are the most boring people in this world. Like, do they sell anything? Like, they don't sell the game other than when you watch them. Trevor Zegras, Austin Matthews.
Crosby sells Tim Hortons and Cup jerseys.
Oh, yeah, that's so bad. I don't know. I loved it. That was the best part for me that I took away. Also, I really enjoyed the blackjack. That was pretty cool. Like shooting cards. I like the Bellagio fountain. And then when the reporter asked Zach Werenski after he won, does he practice this at home? He goes, I don't usually practice shooting pucks over, like, you know, the Bellagio, the lake or whatever pond. I was like, this is great. So other than that, Yeah, Trevor Zegras is the star of the show, and he wasn't even invited to the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think that, man, the easy comparables out there are, you know, like the dunk competition, the home run derby, the shootout. Like this, these are the, those are the exciting moments for, you know, fans, for the NHL to highlight what is the most exciting part of their game and what should be generally some of their most like easily sold jerseys and players. So the NHL really should, you know, maybe they should lean towards that more a little bit, you know, maybe they adopt a couple of the NBA things where they have, you know, at the end of the year, they do like the first team, second team, third team. So you get that recognition of like, this is the best player at their position.
Yeah.
But you don't make them go and play an exhibition game in the middle of the season for it. You know, like I think a Young Guns game out there would make way more sense because you're going to get some young players. They're going to be naturally competitive against one another. And it's going to be an opportunity to kind of, you know, showcase the young players the same way the NBA does that.
Yep.
Players like Zegras should be in the shootout competition. I am an Alex Pietrangelo fan. He helped bring a cup home to the Blues. He's not, I don't like that. He shouldn't be doing the shootout. Honestly, Jack Hughes, as like fun and adorable as his thing was, get out of here. Like these are, they're doing things because these are like the ideas that are being kind of floated towards them within the parameters of what they can do, but they're being told to use this like weird showmanship instead of showcasing their skills. Now, yeah. unless Jack Hughes is going to bring that magic box onto the ice into a game, I'm not interested. If he does, I'll watch. That'll be amazing. I would love to see him pull out that extra man and go onto an immediate power play as a child. That's must watch television in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah, I don't know. Like the NHL has to loosen up. It's the fans are starting to more and more to clamor for it. I'm hoping that they catch on sooner than later.
Yeah.
If they don't, we're gonna become the fifth most popular sport in North America. Yeah. Sooner than later if they don't.
MLS is gaining ground like crazy, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. It is like you said though. About the shootout. So that is basically our dunk competition, right? That mirrors the NBA's All-Star game. But not only was it a gimmick, he still came out with an average Joe's jersey and shorts, but like he actually showed skill, like real skill, like skill yeah. that like all those guys on the bench, even Kevin Bieseka was saying, was like, none of them can do that. That's what we want to see. That's what an All-Star game should be. Everybody remembers in Canada that likes the NBA, Vince Carter's dunk, right? It's changed the landscape of basketball in Toronto, Vince Carter and that All-Star game. Plays like Trevor Zegras did, that's why we have it. That's what we want to see. Like you said, it was cool and cute that Jack Hughes had a little kid come out of a box and score. Awesome. But I'm here to see the gimmicks and also the high skill. And we didn't get enough of the high skill. And also Alex Pietrangelo won that competition without even scoring. The puck didn't even go in the net. Like, so that's the other thing. It's like, what? And one, I want to make one other little side thing about the NHL All-Star games and a competitor was like, whoever picked Marchessault to go out and read the cards, they should have picked somebody else because he could not read Metropolitan. And it was absolutely hilarious that it's like, okay, maybe this guy just gamed and played hockey and just skipped all the schoolwork because Metropolitan is not a hard word to read. It might be the French too. I don't know, but it was pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I think just like Vegas itself, this All-Star game was showy, it was gimmicky, and in the end, it was rigged for Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was, it's all good fun. Hopefully everybody comes out healthy players can enjoy the break as much as they can. And yeah, you know, Matthew Tkachuk sees the light while he's hanging out with Robbie T.
Heartbreak.
Well, I guess let's, should we just dive into it? We talked about this pre-pod. we've been we talked about this a couple of weeks ago that we want to do this more regularly. We're bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
We're talking power rankings.
The power rankings.
We have the power rankings.
Sorry,
we
are here. Yeah.
We're here for it. And unlike the last time we did the power rankings, we're looking at the ones we've already done. So we're gonna be seeing some teams we dropped out, some teams that we kept in. Let's do this. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with this. First and foremost, spoilers. Spoiler alert, but not too much of a spoiler. I'm gonna tell you right now, there are two teams that were in my previous top 10 that are not in this top 10. Do you want me to surprise you and blow your mind right now?
Just tell me the ones that, aren't in. I just want to know the ones that aren't in. Yeah, let's do it.
Nashville didn't make the cut. Now, to be fair, they were number 9 last time, and they're not that far out. They're playing really well right now. And Washington. For you audio listeners, Ty's eyes just fell out of his head. Washington didn't make my top 10. That's what I'm going to say it. So,
I'm not as prepared as you are. I have my top 10, my current one right now. I don't have my previous one, so I can't even remember who was in my other one. I didn't go back.
I've got your previous one, and I'll be taking notes.
All right, you take notes. I also don't have Nashville or Washington. That's a big shocker too, even though my face dropped. I don't have them in this one. Even though Nashville, you could, I guess, make a case. If you were going to do top 12, they'd probably be there. But yeah, how about Maddie, you start us off with number 10. Who do you got?
All right. Well, last time I had Colorado at number 10. They're not at number 10 this time. This time, formerly my number 7 team, now my number 10 team, host of the All-Star game, the Vegas Knights. I've got them coming in at 10, and maybe a bit of a stretch, but they are leading their division. They are, slumping a little bit, but Jack Eichel has been cleared for contact. And that alone brings them up several spots to be my number 10. I can't wait. Vegas, wild. Number 10.
So everybody that's listening or watching is going to be like, man, these two must have planned this, because Tyler also has Vegas at number 10. I almost didn't have them in. I almost had Boston over them. Not that they haven't played well. I just don't think they've been playing to like the standard that they usually play to. And I'm also curious, when Jack Eichel does come back, they have to somehow free up $10 million. Right. So that's a couple and they have to do it quickly, right, before the trade deadline. So it's interesting to see where they are. I have Vegas at number 10. Robin Leonard's been a beast for them too this year, which has been awesome. They had some D problems, but they've been turning it around, and they're sitting on top of the Pacific like everybody guessed.
Boston, I think when we did our pod a couple weeks back, and I had to eat some crow about Tuukka Rask coming out and playing well. If Tuukka had played more than one game before getting hurt,
yeah,
they might have made my top 10.
Hmm.
I like Tuukka Rask. I'm not going to celebrate his injury or anything on that regard, but I am happy to not include Boston.
Yeah.
Number 9. Ty, who do you got at number 9?
At number 9, I got the 27-11-8 Pittsburgh Penguins. I think this team has shocked a lot of people this year. I definitely, for one, did not think they would be as dominant as they have been. And my bright spot for them, Maddie, is Tristan Jarry. The guy got lit up last playoffs. Like, you wanted to score a goal against the Pittsburgh Penguins, you go glove high, right? Yeah. He's been Vezina caliber this year. He's been a beast. He's been carrying them through games. He's been solid. Mike Sullivan says it all the time. He's their rock. even though they didn't start the year with Sidney Crosby, Malkin didn't, that just came back. They're at 27 wins and 11 losses, regular time losses. But still, like, that's an impressive record for a team that's been like injury riddled. Yeah, I have the Pittsburgh Penguins at number 9.
Yeah, that's pretty. I can't hit on that. I'm not going to speak on it too much longer because I have to introduce my number 9 pick.
Love it.
If you're watching, you'll see that I'm wearing the team for my listeners. I'm currently sporting my brand new Winter Classic, beautiful bone-colored St. Louis Blues jersey, Tarasenko jersey. Had to get a jersey for Tarasenko before he left the team because he doesn't have that much time left for this. But my number 9 team is St. Louis. I had to do some creative accounting to get them in here, but quite frankly, they deserve to be in here. And I think they're going to do better than this, you know, long-term. They've got really great depth scoring, great top-end talent. They're playing really well. They're probably going to add something on the defensive end. They, you know, Doug Armstrong's not afraid to be involved in any deal. He's crazy and wild like that, which is why I love him. I don't think they're going to maybe do as big a splash as they sometimes get predicted, but they could definitely shore up that defense. And we've got Ville Husso coming out of nowhere for the average NHL fan and just stepping into place. Really, I think that if he keeps playing well, he doesn't have to play at top level, but he plays well. And Binnington can hopefully figure out his situation, stop slumping so hard. We're the sky's limit. Blues are the sky's limit. So number 9, I know you're probably going to leave them off the list altogether, so I had to make sure they got in there. Number 9,
St. Louis Blues. Yeah, there. I feel like when you do these lists, anywhere from like 13 to 7, you can interchange any of them. I feel like there's a real like cluster of them at that part. St. Louis is deadly. The Binnington story is going to be fun to watch because going into the year, you would not have thought there was a goalie controversy at all. And now there's a competition between the two of them. And who do you go with? Do you go with the guy you're paying over $5 million? Or do you go with the guy that's like a stud right now? He's allowing what? Just under 2 goals a game. I watched them play against the Flames where they absolutely slaughtered them. That took a lot for me to say, as you could tell by the stutter. but yeah, he was a rock and he's great to watch. I did not have St. Louis in my top 10, sadly. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. No, I don't expect it to, as I said, and like you made a great point. 13 through 7 is really it becomes a little bit more than Nick wins, losses. You really kind of look at the team and you make it work however it works. St. Louis did not make either of our lists last time. Mm. And neither did my number 8 team, but they made both of our lists this time. The Pittsburgh Penguins coming to number 8. Neither of us had them listed last time. Those are the 2 new entries on my list. So the top 7, I'm sorry, that might be a little boring, but Pittsburgh, you said it well. They've done so well. They barely missed. I think we talked about this on our last power rankings. They were in that kind of 7 to 13 range for us where we could have made an argument, but we just didn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, now they've gotten Sid back. They've gotten Malkin back and Yari's playing amazing. And Jeff Carter has refound himself still. Like,
who's Brian Rust?
Right? Yeah, man, they're killing it. It's amazing. I think if anything, I think I have them more so at 8 because I feel like with those studs back, I'm almost feeling like they're underperforming now. They did so well without those guys. Obviously, you know, with those guys coming back, there's going to be readjustments. Players' time, like ice time is changing and their roles are changing. So they're probably going to be a bit of a feeling out period. But given how well they played up until this point, and now they've got their 2 best players back and they're relatively healthy, you know, man, I really feel like they could make them a magical run, kind of the way that Chicago thought they could, but There is nothing magical going on there.
No.
Who do you
I have a team that I picked to win their division. I have at number 8 the New York Rangers. They played a lot of games. I feel like Zibs, Panarin, Fox, the big boys have been well, but they have probably the best goalie in the NHL. They have Igor. And I really feel like Gerard Gallant came in like a fresh voice. Really, that guy, every place he's gone the first year has like introduced winning, and then it seems to stumble a few years after that. But yeah, I have the New York Rangers slightly. I guess you could say it's a shocker, but I have them at number 8.
There you go. Number 8. Boom. They, that's exactly where you had them last time.
Is it?
Yep.
They haven't changed.
You had them in the exact, you actually had Vegas in 10 last time as well. So
if you're listening to me, I don't change. Clearly all viewpoints. I can't wait to share my number 7 with you, Matty.
Hit me with your number 7.
This
it better not be who I think it is.
This is the cream of the crop of the Pacific Division. As behind me, I have 3 beautiful jerseys and a wooden jersey. Please sponsor us, wooden jerseys or wood jerseys, please. That's okay. I'm doing my free whatever. I have the Calgary Flames. They have the best line in hockey right now. Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Lindholm, and Matthew Tkachuk, who's going to be staying forever. Sorry, Matty. Daryl Sutter has got them playing a complete game. Jacob Markstrom seems to be over a slump. They have huge surprises, as in Oliver Shillington and even Dan Vladar. I have the Calgary Flames at number 7. There might be a little bias in there, but I will say this just to defend myself. I was scouring other power rankings post All-Star game. And the Athletic Dom also has the Calgary Flames. I think 6. I couldn't justify 6, but 7. 7 is where they are at.
You know, it's funny because I've got your rankings written down here from last time.
Yeah.
And as I was noting that, wow, you had Vegas and New York in the same spot. You had previously had Flames in 9th, and I almost said something. And as soon as I thought about it, I thought, oh no. They're higher this time. Spoiler, the Flames did not make my top 10. But I'm going to take this opportunity to shout out the second biggest Flames fan I know, who only gets second because you're surrounded by jerseys right now, my buddy JD, who big Flames guy, loves them, sees the same thing that you do. And I don't know what water you guys are drinking. I'm just glad I'm staying away from it.
He's got great taste, all right? He's got great taste.
From number 7, I'm doing something that we did last time too, where somehow I'm giving more credit to teams that you supported than I did previously. I've got Rangers at number 7 for all the reasons you brought up. The holes that I poked in them preseason doesn't seem like they're really there. I was worried about their defense being young, but their goaltending is making up for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that they had the offensive firepower to get it done, and they still are. They were in both of our top 10s last time. They're doing it again. Yeah, they're a force. I still feel there's still something, and I don't know if it's just my ego or if there's actually something there. Mm-hmm. I do feel like they're not going to keep this up. But as I said, that could just be my ego really, really wanting to be able to say, nah, I told you so. Mm-hmm. They're sitting 2nd in their division. They're sitting 7th in my power rankings. They're doing fine. The New York Rangers, number 7.
I will say this too, before we pass on the Rangers, Chris Kreider is having an unbelievable season, leading the NHL in goals right now. But like you said about the defense and stuff, I think we're talking a totally different team if Igor is not having the season he's having, right? Great goaltending hides a lot of like blemishes and, you know, average play. And I think you're spot on where you're questioning the D, because also going into the playoffs, I wouldn't pick them as any favorites, that's for sure, because I definitely do still think they have holes. They're a young team too as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Your number six team, Maddie.
Number six. I was actually, I surprised myself by how low I had these guys ranked. And I think that, like you mentioned, 13 through 7 feels like you can make an argument for a lot of them. I think the top six, it's easy to argue that to shuffle them around in any different way. I think there's a clear line between the top six and everybody else. And I've got the Tampa Bay Lightning at number six on my power rankings. That is a fall of four spots. Last time I had them at number two. I don't know that I think they've fallen off per se.
Yeah.
And if I quickly look at them, yeah, they're sitting at second in the Atlantic. I don't doubt them at all, but I just looking at the other teams, I thought, wow, these guys, I don't think they're as assertive today in terms of where they are as the other teams ahead of them. So I've got the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's a great pick. And Tampa Bay is definitely on my list. I'll share where they are shortly. But I have the Minnesota Wild, and I am a Wild lover. I am definitely on the bandwagon. I'm usually a guy that just sticks with one team. I don't jump ships, but I am loving the success that Matt Zuccarello is having. I'm loving the unsustainable shooting percentage that former Chicago Blackhawk Ryan Hartman is having. And I'm loving, you know, the goalie fight, Cam Talbot having this awesome season. And then you have Edmonton Oilers fans complaining about never having a goalie. And Cam Talbot just went to the All-Star game. I absolutely love it. So I have the Minnesota Wild. They're 9-0-1 in their last 10. That is basically unstoppable. They haven't lost since the St. Louis Blues humiliated them on national television in their own state. But yeah, the Minnesota Wild are my number 16.
I got to tell you, I missed a lot of that after you said, I am a Wild lover. yeah, that shook me. I'm not going to lie. That I wasn't prepared for that.
Hey, I just keep it real, okay?
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Maybe we'll have to get the wife of the podcast at some point to back up the points. Fans out there, if you're looking for anything quotable,
t-shirt.
Briggs is a Wild lover.
Yeah.
Nope. Minnie's a great team. They're having a hell of a year. And I am eating a lot of crow still after initially saying that they probably wouldn't even make the playoffs. And now they look like a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, they're deep. And so, they don't even have a true number one center, which just seems wild to me, which is crazy. But I will share my number five team with you right now. That's Tampa Bay Lightning. This team's 30-10-6, 7-2-1 their last 10. And you know what's happening is you see it all the time with sports when you have such a dominant team. They know what they want to win. The regular season is what it is, right? But they know what they're going for, and that's another Stanley Cup. They're going to be in the running this year. They're just a force. There's so much depth on that team. Their management is perfect. And hopefully Kucherov gets right because he's out again right now. But yeah, I have the Tampa Bay Lightning for all the things you said as well as my number five team.
Yep. Can't knock you there. Noteworthy, Tampa Bay was your third place team last time. So they've fallen a little bit. A little bit. Minnesota, being the Wild lover that you are, you kept them in the exact same place. So you had them as a six last time. You got them in the six this time as well. My number five team, formerly, they jumped up a couple spots for me. But I think no one else is listening. I expected them to be higher anyways. I've got Florida Panthers at number five. Top of their division. What are we looking at? Top points overall in the league. So maybe a little disrespectful down there. But I mean, that's the Huberdeau tax. So I'm just helping fuel their fire because, I mean, if you want to crown them, you can crown them. I think they can give us more. Florida Panthers are my number five. But like I mentioned, we could we could toss a coin between most of these guys at this point. Yeah. Florida's got a wagon, an absolute wagon. I'm listening back to some of our old podcasts to prepare for this one. I remember making jokes about Bob Rowski. Guy's playing great.
Yeah. But
I'm just going to say it. Everybody that I talk smack about is playing great. So I don't know. I mean, I clearly have some influence.
Yeah.
It's counterproductive to what I want and to looking smart. But I mean, I guess at the same time, you know, good for these guys for finding their motivation wherever they can. So.
Oh my gosh. The Huberto tax got me, man. That was awesome.
Number four, for the second time in a row, I have one of your teams ranked higher than you do.
Calgary Flames.
Last time, this is happening again. It's really starting to bother me. I've got the Minnesota Wild in at number four. No one will describe me as a Wild lover. Make of that what you will. But these guys they're playing great. I mean, I would love to argue against it. They're division rivals. I don't like them. We embarrassed them in their own state in front of the world, but goddamn, they're playing well. Outside of that game, they're playing well. They've been playing well all season. Cam Talbot sucks, but apparently he doesn't. I don't know what to tell you. Up is down, left is right, cats and dogs living together. None of this makes sense. But the Minnesota Wild, they're my fourth ranked team. Two spots higher than the Wild lover himself. I don't know what to tell you. Who's your number four team?
This one pains me because there's no team other than the Edmonton Oilers that I hate more than my number four team. And I've already talked good about them in the past power rankings, and I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to make it quick, make it simple. I'm not going to give any of our fans that, you know, we know there's a few Toronto fans that listen this, but the number four team I have is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Cool. They're good. That's all I want to say about them.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, you dropped them two spots from last time.
Yeah, because I had to. They deserve it.
Man, yeah. I don't know what to say. Let me just skip ahead and say I've got them at number three. We're moving on to number three. You've got them before. I've got Toronto at three. They're a wagon. Everyone's playing great. It sucks. We're not enjoying it at all.
No, it's awful.
But it is what it is. And we're not going to give the Toronto fans anything more than that.
That's all. That's all they deserve. They get all the major sporting like news stations talking about them 24/7. Well, this is up. We're not going to that level. We're staying respectable to all the other teams and fans.
Two last things. I had them at number three last time. So they held position. So I don't feel so bad about that. Jack Campbell, we're still big fans of yours. Come on the pod anytime. Open invitation. You can talk about anything you want. You don't have to be talking about hockey. You can just tell us about how much you like soup. I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's it. Ty, who do you got at number three?
I have the Carolina Hurricanes at number three. Frederick Anderson is having a career year. 24-6. He's got career high save percentage at 929. Goals against is just above two. They're at 31-9-2 in their last 10. They're 7-2-1. They have the best coach in hockey, Rod Brind'Amour. I love the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are playing out of this world.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. What else can be said?
And Sebastian Aho won the accuracy shooting this weekend, so that was cool. I don't know.
Why don't you tell me who you got at number two?
I got number two. I think they were my former number one, the Colorado Avalanche. 32-8-4. The last 10 basically mirrors Minnesota, 9-0-1. This team is just freaking loaded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like McKinnon's been out twice this year. Landeskog's having a career year. Nazem Kadri, who was supposed to be traded to the Calgary Flames.
Oh, my God.
Sorry about it. My heart hurts still from it. He's having a career year, and I'm sorry that whatever team signs him after this year, I'm really sorry, because he's not going to mimic this. But yeah, they just next up mentality. They don't even have great goaltending. That's the best thing, is like this team just has so much firepower. Darcy Kuemper hasn't been great like he was in Arizona. And I love the Colorado Avalanche, but I have him number two.
Yeah. They're special. They're great. They're great. It's not easy to say that. Again, division rival with the Blues. Central is a wagon in and of itself. What can we do? Number two on the gully list is Carolina Hurricanes, man. I got to tell you, they're my kind of jerks. They're killing it. They're doing so well. So happy to see it. They actually do drop one spot for me. Formerly were not number one, down to number two. But again, it's all just a shimmy and a shake away from being a spot higher. These guys are great. They're doing so well. They saw something in their team plan that a lot of us didn't see. You know, they made some changes in the offseason that a lot of us thought were silly or crazy or didn't understand. They had a plan, and it's working pretty basically to perfection. I don't know how to say it. They're doing so well. Again, listening back to our preseason pod, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And I think I said what I thought was a bit of a compliment, in that I thought they still could make the playoffs. They could make a run, but they did some weird things and they weren't going to be that dominant. And wow, understatement of the season. Again, they clearly listened. They were like, he thinks that we'll barely make the playoffs. Let's show him. Man, we don't have that many listeners. I should be able to find out in the media on these teams is using, like, we're basically corkboard material. They're telling, they're putting it up. They're like,
yeah,
boys, guess what Mitts and Twig said to and they're just posting it. Huberdeau is just fuming in the corner. So but yeah, number two, Carolina Hurricanes. For me, I'm going to say who my number one is. It is the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, what else is there to say? You said it all. They're great. They really are. We expected them to do well. I think that Darcy Kuemper is an upgrade over Grubauer. I know you didn't say that explicitly. I do. I'm a bit of a Kuemper stan, but he does need to stay healthy. I assume he just got his injuries out of the way earlier in the season so that he can be healthy for the run. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think they're going to be great and dangerous, very dangerous. Kemper's got that in him. He can steal the show. And that's the funny thing, is they don't actually need any goaltender to steal the show. I don't think they technically even need a goaltender to be a winning team. They're that good. So that's my number one team, Colorado Avalanche. It'd be crazy to have any other team number one in your power rankings. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ty. I'm looking at your list.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've got Colorado at two.
Yeah.
You've got one spot left.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
But even I think it's silly to put the Blues at number one. So I'm sure you've got a really well-researched argument on why you think the St. Louis Blues are the best team in the league right now. But for the sake of our integrity and our listeners, if you could choose another team on the fly, I know you prepared, I know, you know, you're ready. Yeah. You wanted to crown them. But other than the Blues, who are your number one team in the NHL?
Yeah, like now I'm scrambling here because I had the Blues picked for number one, and a huge speech on how great Jordan Kyrou was, and Robert Thomas was
finally fastest man alive.
And, you know, Jordan Binnington was going to rebound, and they still have Billy Huso. No, I have the Florida Panthers. The NHL runs through Florida. That team is unbelievable. And you know what? They got Billy the greatest GM right now, Zito. hanging out in Florida, sipping margaritas, laughing it up because he's stealing all these free agents. You know what teams like New York Rangers and Calgary Flames all do? They go assign guys to like overpayments because they won Stanley Cups. You know what Bill Zito did this year? Re-signed Ryan Lomberg, Anthony Duclair, Mackenzie Wiegers on a huge cap-friendly deal. They are rolling in money. And like you said before, nobody would have guessed Sergei Bobrovsky would be the goalie is right now. And we should have. This is who he was in Columbus. This is who he was in Philadelphia. And he's playing lights out. But yeah, they're 32-10-5, 7-3-0 in their last 10. They're an unbelievable team. They have four lines that come at you in waves. And really, if you fall down 3-0, they're going to come back and win. So love the Florida Panthers. They're going to be a threat all offseason. But like you said, any of the five teams, Tampa, Toronto, Carolina, Colorado, Florida, you could switch them either way you wanted. But yeah, I have the Florida Panthers at number one.
Yeah, what Florida has done with, I mean, no one's going to tell you that these guys aren't talented now, but you can look up and down that roster and you're going to find players that not that long ago were written off by large groups of people. You know, Barkov maybe doesn't fit that list, but is he the most underrated superstar in the league? Oh. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, miles.
Anthony Duclair is a guy that great junior career, kind of like Jordan Eberle, bounced around to a bunch of teams, kind of like Jordan Eberle. I like Jordan Eberle, is finally playing significant games on a significant team and having an impact. So he's killing it right now. Jonathan Huberdeau, they're getting something out of him finally, which is impressive and amazing.
He's leading the league and in points.
Your boy Sam Bennett just needed a little bit of a warmer climate, I think.
Yeah.
They've got the Beardo himself, Joe Thornton. Sam Reinhart. Like,
yeah.
What is this? What is going on?
You know what's great about that is Rasmus Ristolainen went for more than Sam Reinhart. There's GMs that stay pat and are scared of making moves, and they don't know when their window is going to happen. And then there's guys like Bill Zito. Bill Zito's been there for 2 years. 2 years ago, Florida was not in any way, shape, or form ready to compete for a Stanley Cup. Were they? I don't think they were. Huberdeau was in freaking trade rumors. You know what I mean? Now he's leading the league in points. Barkov is the superstar that, like, sorry, when he was drafted at 3, everybody was shocked. He's great. Or was it 2? Maybe he was drafted at 2. It was 2 or 3. I can't remember. But
couldn't still, tell you.
That team is unbelievable. And Aaron Ekblad, finally living up to the high praise and the, you know, the junior career he had and going first overall. So good on the Florida Panthers. It's good to see they're getting the All-Star game next year. It's funny, if you were to tell me, like, where are the two juggernauts in the NHL, and you were to tell me, like, in the warmest climate in Florida, I would have laughed at you, right? But it just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's wild how well, like, Florida and California are doing, in the sense that just, you know, non-traditional hockey markets. Of course, Tampa Bay has had some championships over the years, especially recently, you know, California has had a number of titles come through there and contenders, but right now, just these two tropical climates have 5 good, relevant teams all at the same time. And we don't have to go into it, but I think Canada should be scared. I think we're the first to lose money.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, if you're a UFA and you're starting to see success in these cities, why would you not want to go there? You know what I mean? So,
well, and it happens in sports. It gets brought up, different state taxes. And this was the Florida argument for the longest time that somehow didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, it didn't
work. The idea that they don't pay state tax. So, you know, $10 million in Florida is $10 million, whereas $10 million in a lot of other places is like 8 or 7 or even 5, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then, of course, you know, you throw in escrow and whatnot. Not, so it's like, I think it's amazing that Florida has done what they've done, the Panthers, that is, yeah, with a lot of players that a lot of other teams gave up on.
Yeah.
So they don't even have to be paid.
Sam Bennett was traded for a second and a prospect.
He was right off.
Yeah, think about it now. If you could, well, to be fair, he was never going to be this in Calgary, right? Like this player, you're playing with one of the best wingers in the league. I know you don't agree, Jonathan Huberdeau, right? He never got his shot with Johnny Gaudreau at all. So I can't say that, hey, if Sam Bennett would have stayed playing under Daryl Sutter, he would have been this player. No, he's this player because he's finally got the chains on, like off him, and he can just play hockey, right? He's not getting benched for taking a stupid penalty. The guy's been suspended a ton down in Florida. Still keeps his second line spot. You know what I mean? So good on Sam Bennett. Yeah. Duclair. Columbus, when they were going through tough times, didn't want him. They said he wasn't really good. John Tortorella even has said on the record that you can't win with that guy, basically. He's a pure sniper, right? Yeah. Ryan Lomberg played in for the AHL Heat, right? They played for the Stockton Heat, the Calgary's farm team. I think played two games with the Calgary Flames. He is now a dominant force on that fourth line. Nobody wants to play against him. I think he's like 5'7". Mackenzie Weegar, drafted in the sixth round, or I can't remember, it was one of the late rounds, but he's now a top three defenseman for the Florida Panthers. They have done really well, and they're all on great deals. But like you said, they're making full money, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I love
it. It's awesome. Great for them. Man. Well, there we have it, our power rankings. We'll be posting these to socials later, and we hope that you guys reach out and tell us how much you hate or love our rankings. Feel free to poke holes in our arguments, and feel free to push Twigs for some kind of evidence on this wild lover claim, which, yeah. Look, I'm not saying you're not. I've got no evidence against it. I just...
That kind of slipped out. I don't usually share my secrets, but it's out there now. Everybody knows. Yeah.
There it is.
It's a curse.
We want to talk about, I talked about a little bit how I've been listening to some of our old pods to get some information, to get some things, because we wanted to kind of review that. This is that natural break in the season where we kind of look back and look forward. One of the things we want to look back at is our very, very early, I think it was our second or third podcast.
Yeah.
We predicted division winners. There's some good. There's some not so good. I'm going to say this right now. You're looking a little bit better than I am on this one. You're grading a little higher.
Thank you.
More twigs than mitts this episode. I'll say that
right now. That's great. Yes.
We don't just spend a lot of time on this. We can dig into it a little bit. Who knows? But we both had Vegas in the Pacific, and Kel surprise, Vegas is leading the Pacific.
Yeah.
I think what is a surprise is that when we talked about the Pacific, we thought Edmonton's right there, and then there's nothing else.
Yeah.
That is not the case currently.
Yeah. The Pacific's weird because I think, I can't remember exactly, but I think you were a bit higher on Vancouver than I was. But I still thought Vancouver would be higher than where they are. And they're kind of showing progress under Bruce, right? But still, no. If you would have told me that Anaheim, LA, and San Jose would be sniffing around, I would have told you you're on something crazy. All three of those teams are rebuilding. No, they're just as good. They're playing just as well as any of the other teams. And Edmonton, the holes that they thought they filled, actually, they didn't even attempt to fill in the offseason, are showing again. So yeah, Vegas was the easiest one, I think, out of all of them. We're spot on with that.
Yeah. Going on to the Central, you're 2-for-2. You had Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado's right there. I had St. Louis. I mean, they're not far off.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough. Colorado just had probably the best January that I can ever think of.
It's incredible.
They were already doing well, and then that was crazy. Was it 17-0-1, I think, or something along that line?
I can't remember. That was February. That was just barely. I was going to say, they just lost to Arizona, and they were like, 18 home wins in a row or something like that, which was crazy. Yeah.
It's insane. They're 20. I'm looking at it right there. They're 22-2 at home right now. 9-0-1 the last 10. Yeah, I mean, obviously not surprised there. Minnesota and Nashville, who I think you were kind of on the Minnesota wagon early on.
Yeah.
I think we both made fun of Nashville.
Yeah, 100%.
Should have. Dallas is just who I had pegged as having, they're just barely holding on to any respectability.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg is just desperately trying to make me look bad. I thought they were going to not necessarily contend, but I thought they were in the playoffs this year. And they're stinking it up with one of the best goaltenders in hockey right now.
Yeah.
They're stinking it up. So
is that not the best division in hockey? In my books, it's the best division in hockey. We're crapping on Winnipeg. And even if you look at Winnipeg, they still have Connor Hellebuyck. They have Kyle Connor. They have Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's a freaking giant. They still have Mark Scheifele, who has not played well. And that's a bottom team. Like, that's a bottom team. You know what I mean? Minnesota's a tank. Dallas is who I thought they were. They have some, they just got some weird holes. Colorado's amazing. St. Louis is still really, really good. And they have two good goaltenders now if Binnington figures it out. Yeah, that division's awesome to watch every night in and night out.
No excuses. I assumed Ben Bishop would play at some point this season. Yeah. Ben's done.
Retired.
Nothing but love and respect for Ben from my point of view. He had some time with the Blues, and I thought he was fantastic. Ben, guys had a wonderful career. Sad to see that it kind of didn't end on his terms. It's kind of forced upon him because I think it was degenerative disease or injury.
Yeah.
But I think that that's not that Dallas is a well put together team per se, but I think that's their goaltending issues, their lack of a stud goaltender, I think is why they're not quite where I had thought they were going to be. But yeah, Central's packed. The only real smudges on the Central are the Coyotes, and they're trying to lose. So I mean, in a way, they're winning because they're doing exactly what they were trying to do. And the Blackhawks, who I think we decided without even agreeing on it openly, that we weren't going to talk too much about the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I'm sick of the Blackhawks.
Anybody wants, we already have a podcast if you guys want to check one of our older ones out, literally called Shame on the Chicago Blackhawks Organization. It's still relevant. Recently, ownership moved. Yeah. Ownership is, they're garbage. They're garbage human beings. I'm going to say that. I don't care. Yeah. They're garbage human beings, and they continue to do garbage things. So other than that, the rest of the division, top marks.
Yeah.
Chicago's garbage. Moving on to the Atlantic. We're both, I'm closer.
Okay.
I'm going to say this right now. I'm closer. I took the easy pick in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They're sitting behind Florida. Florida, the tank that they are. Your number one team in the league.
Yeah.
Just Tampa was an easy win. So they're in second. You're not far off, I guess, but I mean,
I'm far off.
Boston's not there. Yeah. You had Boston in the Atlantic. I know I'm not going to throw too much shade. I know you were just trying to mix it up a little bit. You're trying to be a little loose, you know?
Yeah. It still haunts me. It's a terrible pick. I could have picked like a bunch of other teams. I picked Boston. I actually enjoy Boston. Some of the games they've played, they're just not the top team. That's all. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to probably have a run. Hopefully, if they try, they got to add some, like you said on our first pod, you said they have holes, like who's playing the second line and all that. And like you said, Matt, you were right. And I was just trying to overlook that stuff. So I'll eat crow on that one. I'm sorry. Sorry, Boston fans. I put faith where faith should not have been put. So I'm sorry.
I will say, if Tuukka comes back fully healthy anytime soon,
yeah,
regardless of what they add to the lineup, I think they've got enough of a buffer on Detroit, who's the next closest team, to that they'll probably make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to get bounced. I think they might somehow lose in three games, even though it's four, you know, best of seven. I think they're that far behind the rest of the East.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to go out of my way and being a jerk to Boston, but
sure, like, sounds like it, Matt. Sure sounds
they're not close. If Tuukka Rask doesn't play again this season, I think Boston might miss the playoffs. I'm just saying that right now. Yeah. They might miss the playoffs anyways, but they have – the East is their top and bottom. There's no shade of gray there. You're either good or you're not. And Boston's somehow in the good side. So, yeah, they're going to probably make the playoffs. So you won't be completely embarrassed with that pick. But at least, you know, I got a chance at making up the difference there. In the Metro is where you kind of put it away. Talked about how I don't enjoy giving you credit for this.
Because yeah.
It stinks.
Yeah.
You've been on the Rangers. They're producing. They're sitting actually tied for points with the Hurricanes. I don't see it. I don't get it. I accept that it's reality. I made the bold choice. Some might have said back then the safe choice of declaring the New York Islanders the future of the Yeah. Well, I can tell you about how they had, you know, the first half of the season from hell, where they played most of their games on the road, and how they have almost, I think, 75% of their games remaining are home games. I can tell you how Barry Trotz gets it done and how that team still has all the same pieces and should be ready to go and has lots of games against bottom feeder teams.
Nope.
Not gonna. Nope. The Islanders are not going to win the Metro this year.
No.
They're probably not even going to get close.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
So, yeah. If you keep it score at home, ties 2-for-4 with direct picks. And his misses, well, one of them's basically there. So let's say 2.5.
I'll take it.
And as much as I want to rag on you for Boston, it's not nearly as much of a miss as the Isles. So get a bit of a lead at the midseason point. I'm going to need a lot of help.
You're going to need some help.
I need some help. I'm not going to wish for the injury bug. I'm not going to wish anything ill on any of these men.
I think is that not the wildest story, though? Like the Islanders? Like, that is so bonkers. How do you go to the Eastern Conference Finals twice in a row? And now you're like, and your team's the exact same.
Yeah.
And now you're a bottom feeder. I get it. You got games in hand, whatever, right? But like you said, nobody's talking about that. You're just basically looking at the draft because that's all you got left. It's a long season. And they are
3 games back of Carolina. They are more than 6 points back of Carolina.
Oh yeah,
that's the thing. You know, they're 8 games back of the Rangers. They're more than 16 points behind the Rangers. Yeah,
it's been a weird season. And what sucks is they finally got the arena that like those fans deserve, and it has not been good.
No,
the roads have been awful. Home has been awful, but that's hockey.
That's hockey. Looking at them, it blows my mind, though. I mean, you're looking at New Jersey sitting in 8th spot. Now, their goaltending has been, I don't want to say it's been bad, because it's probably been essentially what it should be, given that most nights they're playing their 3rd and 4th string goaltenders, and sometimes essentially e-bugs out there. Like, their goaltending has not been there. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood, who has, you know, a good enough resume, has missed most of the season, and when he's played, he's been playing hurt.
Yeah, struggling.
Whatever you want to say about him, but man, Jersey's behind Philly. They're behind the Islanders. They've got 6 games at hand on the Islanders. They're behind the Islanders.
Yeah.
What's going on down there? They've got such great talent. They've got what you would describe as one of the best defensemen in the NHL, in Douglas Hamilton.
I love Dougie. I don't know. It's that division was crowned like the best division before preseason, right? Everybody talks about the Metro and they're like, man, it's so awesome. There's so many good teams. And I really think, yeah, I agree, but it's been a juggernaut for so long. And you always see this shift and you're finally starting to see that it's shift back to the Central. Like when Chicago was a good team and they were hiding allegations and bad stuff like that. And they were top the, you know, standings and still being dicks, but it was still a juggernaut. And so now you're just seeing a shift back to the Central. And that's all we're saying is some of these teams that are successful, you know, they have to rebound and relook and reassess. And you hate to put it on the feet of Barry Trotz, but sometimes the game he plays gets exhausting. Sometimes that hard, you know, put your work boots on. We're not going to score a lot of goals. You're going to outgrind them. You're going to outplay them. And you've made it far the last 2 years. It starts to wear on players. And I'm sure that's what's happening. And I'm sure Matthew Berzel is frustrated because this guy's supposed to be this, you know, super skilled center. And where is he? You know what I mean? And they have good defensemen too. That's the crazy thing. And I feel for the Islanders. New Jersey's still, they're still whatever they're doing. I don't even know. They don't have a goaltender, but they're still trying to rebuild, I guess. Jack Hughes seems to be okay now. He's finally starting to play like the player he is. But yeah, the Central's the cream of the crop and the Metro's just not. And that's even though they just won the All-Star game, that seems hilarious. Well, though, is it really an All-Star game? They just won it. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's, man.
But it feels good that I know that I'm beating you. Like, lay down tonight. I'm going to, you know, kiss my daughter, kiss my wife. Take a deep, deep, deep breath. And I'm going to be like, I got him. The midseason point. I got him. And that's all. That's all I need in life. I'm not a very complicated man, but just to know that I beat you at the, you know, their preseason picks. Makes me feel, makes me just feel complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. If I was in your shoes right now, I would be laying it on a lot thicker. I'd be gloating considerably harder. So I tip my cap to you for keeping it very respectful. I am losing. No other way to say it, folks. No other way to say it. And there's no segue. There's no segue from that. So I'm just going to do it rough. I'm going to do it rough. Sponsors, Ty. For those of you at home who don't know or haven't caught on, you're going to start hearing this from a little bit more. We're the best amateur hockey podcast out there. That's just a fact. Don't look it up.
Take it to the bank.
But we do this for the love of it. We do this for the love of it because no one's paying us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No one has offered to pay us. If somebody offered to pay us, we do it for the money. We're right. We're dying to sell out, but we don't have that opportunity. Ty, you mentioned it. Wood jerseys love some sponsorship. At this point, I've made fun of them in the past privately. At this point, I would happily do a Manscaped ad read for a little dough. I'm gonna throw it out there. I did. We've been having some success. Ty, would you say that we've had some success? I think overall.
Yeah, I think if you would have told me, like when this whole thing came about, that we would be getting listeners to listen to us weekly, and now we have a YouTube channel. It doesn't have crazy views. We just started it. The YouTube channel just started. It doesn't have crazy views. We haven't really pushed it. But like people are still watching hour-long conversations with us, and it feels awesome. It's cool. It's great. I've had messages from friends saying, man, they love the pod, and if they have room in our fantasy league, can they join? So it's sweet to know that people are, you know, listening to us and coming around. And yeah, would Jersey sponsor us? Just saying. But I love doing it. This isn't anything that I expected would happen when we first started with our first episode who was it? Kevin Fiala just got signed. And I think I texted you like, hey, let's do the little recording. You're like, hey, we're going to use Anchor. And we did it. And the rest is history. And you know, we've had some funny stories in the few months that we've been doing this, but yeah, I love it. Thank you guys for listening. It means a ton. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. throwing the silly hat aside for a moment, it does mean a lot. And it is, I really, really do appreciate everyone that does listen. I really appreciate everyone that reaches out to me and to Ty and lets us know that they listen. Even if it is to say that, you know, we're talking out of our butts. We don't know what we're saying and we're wrong. I love that. You know, we do this podcast because we enjoy talking about hockey. And so, you know, if we get a little more of that in our life on the side, that's pretty cool. Shout out to my buddy JD, as I said earlier, JD, you're number one in my heart. Know that, but you're number two fan. Ty's got all these jerseys. He's clearly, I got to rank him the bigger Flames fan. What can I say? And super fan Trev, the Buffalo Sabres fan. Super fan Trev, big shout out to super fan Trev, who is always very quick to let us know, at least via text message to me, when we are right or when we are wrong about something. Oh, I can't wait to hear him rip on us about our mistakes earlier in the pod when I gave Kirill Kaprizov the credit for that.
Ooh, that's okay, incoming. Now. He's a Buffalo fan. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, man. Throwing that out there, though, if anybody knows anybody that wants to sponsor us, if your uncle has a weird company and he's looking for a way to get into the podcast space, talk us up. Tell him that we're a big deal. And I'll do your ad read. I'll do your ad read so good, you know, just thorough and meticulously. I may not be a wild lover like Tyler, but I'm thorough. And I'm meticulous.
This is taking a turn. And I'll say, we're just going to let Matt read the ad reads because, yeah, I don't think I'm qualified enough for that.
Oh, before this gets more off the rails, gang, if you don't already, please find us on Twitter at Headspock. We're the Mitts and Twigs podcast on pretty much any podcast network. And if you can't find us on a podcast network that you use, let me know, let Ty know, and we will make it happen. It's actually really not that hard, but we are on most of the major ones. We're on YouTube. Find us on YouTube. By the way, there's a bit of an Easter egg on YouTube. If you can find it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Please give us a shout out. Let me know if you found it. I love it. It's so awesome. I won't say anything else. That's all I'm going to say about that. There's going to be more to come. We're going to be opening things up. Maybe on some other socials in the future. So if you're not already following us, you're going to be falling behind. So please, please, please like, subscribe, do all of those ridiculous things that all of us with these things ask you to do. And hey, if you've got a spouse, use their account, subscribe to us, make them listen to us. Let's get those views. Let's get those listens up.
Yeah. Our outros are becoming legendary. Just saying.
Like, oh, yeah. Listen, we're not going to start a GoFundMe yet.
Oh,
but apparently anyone can do it. So maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaving it there. I'm not doing
it. Right there. Oh, man. Well, from my man Twit.
From his man Twigs, I'm out of here.
Have a great week, gang. See you next one. Thank you so much and goodbye.